us pray. Lord, we thank thee for one more Sunday, one more sermon, one more time to worship thee. Bless now as thy servant seeks to honor thee with the word. Bless our ears as we listen. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, Shiloh.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure, more than I can say, to be here. I preached here once before, I know, when I preached my own brother's funeral. Some of you may have known him. He's been gone now, I think, something like 12 years. But we were very much alike. We all had a bunch of degrees, and we were preachers, and we didn't want to be preachers, but we went because the Lord made us. And I wish he were still here, because after all, I'm the oldest one of the Mitchell brothers. And when the people talk about those Mitchell boys, they would talk about three of us, and I'm the only one left. I want to talk to you this morning from a text that you may want to look at just because it's easy to find, the 40th chapter of the Psalms. And the first three words of the psalm, there may have been another worship, another passage read, but things have changed around here and there, and it's here now. Psalm 40, the first three verses. I've waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, established my goings, and he had put a new song into my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. David is may be seated. David is one of the favorite characters of the Bible. He is a special character for children because he had a slingshot. We have David in all the different roles of life. He was head of a young people's, we don't know what to call it. And of course, when he finally finished with his work with his buddies, he was head of an army and became king of all Israel. That's a lot to say about one man. And yet he is not afraid to say it. And he, who was a great warrior with a slingshot and killed a big old giant, and he also sang beautiful songs that he wrote. And he thanked God for what he called a new song. I grew up knowing that I was supposed to be like David. We had a little boys' choir in 1926. Anybody know how old that was? I was singing already in 1926. In fact, I don't know when I started, but I was born in 1919 and I'm only 97 years old. Today is old folks' day, as I understand it. And of course, I'm glad to be here, and I take a bow, I'm old folks. And I thank God for old folks, and anybody who lives 10 minutes and gets breath to breathe and air for it ought to be thanking God. In fact, I noticed you were saying hallelujah, and that's what it means. So I thank you for singing my song, my sermon. And it wasn't mine, it was David's to start with. The thing that most people are not aware of is that we need to be who we are and thank God for it. And this is, in a sense, is what David did. There is a sense in which we need to know who we are, who God made us, and then we thank God for it. If you ever saw anything like a watch made, and you saw all of those things in there, and you say, how marvelous, how could anybody put all that together? Well, that's play stuff, because a human mind has a few hundred thousand watches in it. So we who have something to thank God for need to be doing it, and every last one of us has a hallelujah to say. I didn't tell the folks that that's what I wanted them to do, but I'm glad they did, because if the Lord planned it, it's better anyway. There is a sense in which we need to know who we are and be who we are, and there's a lot of talk going on about that, especially after the election. We need to be who we are because there's some crazy things going on in this country. And you and I are still God's children, and we still need to be thanking God who we are. There's a sense in which until we can thank God and sing hallelujah for it, we don't really enjoy it, and it isn't the blessing that it could be if you could look at who you are and say, hallelujah, God made me. God gave me five fingers in each hand and five toes on each foot, etc. God did all of this, and if you can see all of that and not thank God for it, then that's amazing for sure. David is a character like no character probably you ever met. He was, as a child, able to do things like Goliath the giant. That's quite an activity. He led a group of men who were good warriors, and I have to say it, but I wish we all could stop being warriors and just have peace. He had an opportunity to get his enemy, the king. His name was Saul. David was so popular because he played the instrument, I don't know the name of it, and he sang songs and even wrote songs, and he was popular, and King Saul said he knew he would be a leader one day, and Saul was afraid he'd be a leader sooner than Saul wanted it to happen. So at one point, Saul was in a cave taking a nap, and David could have killed him right then and there and taken over. But he was a hallelujah follower of God, and he didn't He didn't ever think of killing Saul because God put him there and he decided God would have to take him away. Well, God did soon enough, but here again we have being a person able to be who he is and do well and not take things in his own hands. So he thanked God that God had lifted him up to the place where he was, and he knew God is the one who did it. One of the most wonderful things about a lot of people is if you know God did for you like God did for David. If you can feel like I was born for this purpose, if you look at me and say, me is somebody. Me can sing songs. Me can cook dinners. Me can cut wood with a saw. All of the things that we do, God gave us the power, the privilege to do it, and to the extent that you can say with him in the psalm, I waited patiently to see what was going on, and God led me to joyful hallelujah experience. To the extent that we can thank God for it, we enjoy it twice. We enjoy it when it happens, and we enjoy it when we think about it. And when we praise God, we are thinking about it. David said, I waited patiently, and this is what happened. It is for us to look at everything we ever did and think, is this what I should have done? And if it is what I should have done, and God bless me, then it's easy to wait patiently again for what God wants me to do. I waited patiently. I can't imagine a fighter like David, and he's patient. But this is the point that I want most to make today, that being patient will help you be old. We who are, well, give me three more birthdays and it'll be 100. But this is David's point. I have waited patiently, and the secret to his living a long time was to be patient. And to be patient is easy if you can be like David and do so many things and thank God on top of all of it. He didn't write all of the Psalms, but he wrote a lot of them. If he were writing now, he could get a copyright and get rich. Doesn't happen anymore. To the extent then that we thank God, we can live longer. It's a lot easier to breathe and live when you live happily. And I read books after books about how to take care of yourself. And one of the best medicines any of them talk about is the medicine of patience and happiness. It's the healthiest thing I know. You can live a lot longer with a smile on your face than you can live with your jaws tight. It's a sin, really, to overlook what God has done and then to suffer for doing it. And I don't like to preach about that, but I have to say it. But I remember on top of it and talk a lot longer about the many, 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 many blessings that we have received from God. The very blessing of life, as I'm reading these days, is a most amazing thing. When they tell me all these little things, they tell me about my head, it just looks like a head to me. But it's a very complicated, very, 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 very complicated place up there. And God made it and he gave it to me. People who practice medicine perhaps get more of an opinion on this subject because they have to learn so many complicated things. If you are very patient, you can live a complicated, healthy life. I would like to tell you one story, because when you teach, you're supposed to be telling stories. Jesus, well, Matthew, Mark, and Luke said that Jesus told parables. And that's the only thing he did, and he was talking and he was preaching. They said that without a parable, he didn't preach to anybody. And so we have parables even now, and I want to talk about a parable that I saw happen. It's a story about, it's a story about my father, and it's a parable of sorts. When I was 12 years old, I became a Boy Scout. My dad made us a scout troop, and we used to go camping. And when I got to be about 14, I became a camp cook, and I've been known to cook on open fires for 30 people for a week. I don't think I want to try that now. At that camp, there was no stove. There was a piece of sheet metal, and that's what we cooked on, with a fire under it. So one Sunday morning at 6 o'clock, my daddy did what he promised two of the boys' parents he would do. He took them to church, because they went to church to what they called a mass, and the mass was a worship service in what's called a Catholic church. So my dad had to get up at 6, or what, he had to get up before 6, in order to do what he promised these two boys' parents he would do. He said that he would take them to Mass if they would go. And he said, oh, he will go. He goes every Sunday morning. Well, it wouldn't be so bad, except that on Sunday mornings, it was a custom for me to cook flapjacks. Now, that's another word for pancake. And I had to cook pancakes for 30 people on a big open fire with a piece of steel over it. So I was very angry with my father because he didn't stay and help me. He took the boys to the Roman Catholic Mass. Well, my father was a very patient man of sorts. 20 years later, I had moved to California. And one day, I saw one of my old friends, and he said, Henry, you remember Tom? I said, Tom Wright? He said, yeah. I said, well, what about him? He said, well, he's out here now. I said, what? He's out here in California. In fact, he's a few miles up the road. What is he doing out here? He is practicing medicine. What? He's a doctor already? Yeah. He and another boy. The other boy that went to church with my father and this brother, he also had become a doctor. And he was a doctor in New York. But I didn't follow him. I didn't keep up with him. But when she said to me, that Tom is practicing medicine in Richmond, I said, well, the Lord is good. My dad was given a prognosis of 6 weeks to 6 months with carcinoma prostate, which is another word for cancer of the prostate. Wow. So I went and got my dad, and Tom said he'd be glad to take care of him. I said, but we forgot to bring his medical record. He said, if 6 weeks to 6 months is what they gave him, forget that record. Well, my daddy lived 6 weeks, and the doctor said, oh, he's coming fine, he's doing better. After a while, it was 6 months, and he got a job parking cars at his age up at the university campus. Well, it was 16 when finally he retired from parking cars. And a couple of years after that, he died. But there's a big difference between 6 weeks and 6 months on one hand and 18 years on the other. I should have had patience, but my doctor did have it, and instead of a funeral for my dad, he only lived 16 more years under his practice as a medicine, and the patience that he had for all that time is a blessing we will never forget. As David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me. And little children, and teenagers, and old folks too. All of us, if we wait on the Lord, he will listen to us and bless us. And I bless God for talking to you children today, especially, and old folks. Amen.